I'm Fast Eddie.
And I'm Digital Dave.
And somebody's going by in a very loud jet.
Or had a lot of beans last night.
Well, no. We haven't hit Taco Tuesday yet, but that's coming.
It's coming.
This morning, we've got our buddies from NASA. Yep. Hey, guess what? It's these guys are Nils Larsen and Jim Less, call sign Clue. Have fun with that.
Trying to live that down, are you?
Yeah. And,
it could have been worse.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. Yeah.
And these gentlemen are involved in the X-59 project.
Okay, we have an important question. We were talking with someone last night. Now, we know the airplane has an extremely long nose. Did you name it Cyrano?
We have not.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Quick, pencil that on the side.
All right. Well,
there's some ideas out there.
Yeah, we'll put that one in the hat.
There you go.
Snoopy, Pinocchio.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Not Pinocchio.
Yeah. I'd like.
You don't want to get in the cockpit. Go lie to me, baby.
Yeah.
Except the nose keeps getting longer.
Yeah.
Well, it might be a good thing considering what your mission is too.
Absolutely.
And for those of you who are not familiar with the X-59. NASA is working to take sonic booms and make them sonic thumps, the reduction of the sonic boom.
With the end goal of being able to fly supersonic over populated areas.
That's right. Yeah.
With hardly any disturbance at all, my answer to that is, what's the point?
Nice.
If a supersonic jet's going over, I want to know about it.
Well, I don't want to know about it at 3 a.m. when I'm trying to sleep.
There you go.
That's part of it.
Yeah. Yep. Plane is flying now, right? I mean, you rolled it out a couple months back.
And now it's still in ground test.
Okay.
So we're
darn.
It's getting, you know, it. I think the next couple of weeks we'll probably have first engine start. So you know, it's not that easy building an airplane. I think everybody at EAA kind of gets that.
Yeah.
So it's one thing when you're doing a plans build. Something else when it's brand new, clean sheet.
Exactly.
You know, kind of thing.
You cannot look at it and say, "Well, I know this works."
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Because you don't know yet. So,
well, yeah, and the systems on the airplane are unique too, because one of the things that stands out in my mind is that you don't have a front window on this airplane.
That's right.
Yeah. You noticed that.
Yeah. Hard not to.
Yeah.
They got to make sure the guy's got enough quarters to slug the machine when he flies.
So TV stays
on.
So you guys
have... Step a card we swipe now.
Okay.
So, that's sophisticated.
Yeah, it's a lot easier
I thought you just hold it up to the little thing and it go beep and
tap,
you pay.
Yeah, swipe.
Yeah, we didn't get that mod, but yeah. We
not
should,
yet.
Yeah.
But the thing of it being is the aircraft is so designed to minimize sonic boom. It must have made the engineers nuts trying to figure that out.
Well, a lot of wind tunnel.
You know, we've been working on different things through the years. There's the sonic boom demonstrator that happened, decades ago.
20 years ago.
Yeah, and that was a modified F-5. You can find that down in Florida at one of the air museums down there. But that was the first thing that really clued them into, you know, the design. They knew that they could shape the boom, and then it worked. And if you ever go look at that airplane, it actually shows the predicted... signature of the boom on the side of the airplane, stripe that's on the side, and it turned out that what they predicted is what they got. So it's very cool.
Well, that's impressive.
And so it's a lot about the predictions. It's really computer software that's making all this possible. They were able to predict ahead of time what the sonic signature was going to look like. They built it, they measured it, and they got what they expected. And that's what allowed scientists to realize we can now build an airplane from scratch, tailoring the sonic thump from scratch and get what we're looking for. And so really computers, even in the last 20 years, of course, computers have advanced a lot, which is really what's making this all possible.
The big question is, will those design features scale up to a larger airplane and still result in that nice, quiet sonic thump?
Right. And they are supposed to. That's part of the whole idea. Because when you look at the airplane, there's only one seat on it.
Right.
You know, so,
and no bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it only flies for like an hour and a half. Yeah. So,
we'll be good.
So hopefully we'll be good.
Yeah. All right. No coffee that day.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, and the thing about it being is I'm sure that one of the offshoots of this research is going to be another supersonic transport.
Well, that's the whole idea.
That's the idea.
That's exactly.
That's the whole program.
This isn't a prototype. You know, it's an X-plane, so it's demonstrating the technology. So I like to say that you will see, you know, in a future supersonic transport, you would see the DNA from the X-59, you know, in that future transport.
Right.
But it wouldn't look exactly like it.
Yeah. You can expect long and skinny.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably with
a
very long nose as well.
Yep. The less air you have to move out of the way, the better.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that supersonic flight has always been kind of the holy grail of commercial airliners. I mean, look at the Concorde, look at the Russian, the TU-144.
Now they have to add a new facet, though, efficient.
So, yep. And that's
certainly part of it.
Yeah, because the Concorde was going through fuel like no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You guys, as pilots, have to be itching to fly the thing.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's got to be hard to say, I want to strap myself in here, we're going to run, press a few buttons, and then I get out.
Yeah.
What a waste.
We've spent a lot of time in the simulator.
Yeah. 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 I was going to say.
We'll have way more time in the simulator than we ever have in the airplane.
Yeah.
And, of course, when you're flying the simulator, one of the things that you're practicing vigorously are emergency procedures.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What happens when something goes wrong?
Yep. It's only got one engine. So, you know, that's one of those.
Makes
probably the biggest
easier.
Ones. Yep. Yep.
We'll practice flame out landings.
Yep. Yep.
There was a lot of concern from the engineers about landing without being, you mentioned earlier that we don't have a forward windscreen. So we have a camera system that allows us to see where we're going and allows us to land. And there's a lot of concern. What if the camera system fails? Well, we fly from the back seat of other airplanes, F-15s and F-18s, and can still land. You just got to get close to the runway and make sure that you got even pavement on either side and you can still touch down. So yeah. We've practiced that in the sim, and we've proven that we can still land the airplane even if the camera system fails. Yeah.
You break out the white cane and, you know, you
exactly.
can find it there. Yep, there it is.
Well, here's another question.
You don't bring the dog?
Yeah. No dog. Yeah.
You guys, is this airplane equipped with an ejection seat?
It is.
Okay. Yep. I was figuring that'd be a good idea because, you know, things happen.
Yeah, the whole thing is designed or built around the back seat of a T-38, believe it or not. And that was because of that ejection seat, because, you know, our friends down there at JSC had some T-38s and had some extra ejection seats, so we could get those, you know, saving a little bit of money there. Mm-hmm. The other side is, you know, because we didn't have to go do the sled tests, which would have been another probably $100 million.
Yeah, so you are
in more years
prepared to be able to eject at supersonic speed.
Yep. Yep. All the way up to 60,000 feet. We had to modify the seats a little bit to give us more emergency oxygen, you know, that kind of thing. So they are slightly modified because our envelope.
Is and you would rather not eject at supersonic.
I totally understand
always,
that.
Always slow down first.
Is this an open seat or is it a capsule like in, say, the XB-70 or B-58?
Nope, open. A seat. Yep. Open again, seat. Straight out of a T-38.
Yep.
Ooh, they don't have the room or the weight to carry a capsulized seat. Plus, that's a whole new system to design.
Well, if you want to know, $100 million.
Yeah. So, if you want to know more about, you know, the X-59, we are giving a talk today, 11:30. You know, stage 4, I think it is. So,
Definitely.
Find out all that stuff. And if you don't get your questions answered, you know, here with Fast Eddie and Dave, then you know, come by and ask all your questions.
That's right.
Yeah.
Does it have cup holders? I mean, we need to know these things.
We asked for one, it's a short flight.
Wasn't in the budget.
It's an hour to an hour and a half flight, so we're just going to have to get by.
That's the standard answer. It's only an hour and a half flight.
Exactly. And we'll see who's listening. So if you come and ask me about the first person to ask me about the clue button, I'll give you the quest patch off my shoulder.
Listen to this.
Nice. All right. Challenge accepted.
Yes, we can see by Jim's face that he's like, yeah, thanks.
Yeah. No, it's actually good. It's something that Dog, the other test pilot, and I were like, I don't think we need it. Clue said, I really want this. And we basically, in the end, said, oh, yeah, fine. And
then later
on, they threw me a bone.
Yeah, and then later on, we're like, hey, I'm glad we did this.
See, look, it works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. You're flying your initial flights. You're at Edwards, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and Edwards Palmdale area. So
The aircraft's being built by Lockheed Skunk Works, and they're located in Palmdale. So the first flight will be out of Palmdale.
Okay.
And then somewhere near the beginning, we will transition it to Edwards.
Okay. When is the first flight scheduled?
Well, it's what we, you know, ask anybody building their airplane. So, you know, it's one of those where the video says coming soon. It depends on your definition of soon.
It depends on how well your preliminary tests show.
So we'd like it to be this year, but, you know, it's in ground test now, and you're still finding stuff out about the airplane and then having to go in and fix it. So the great thing is, you know, the NASA leadership has been awesome where, you know, they are not pushing for a date. They are actually really good because they're basically saying we'll fly when it's ready. So as the test pilots, that really makes you feel good because you know that they have your back and they're not just pushing to a date You know, and so, you know, it makes you, you know, be able to sleep at night.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is we've got a very large team of very smart, motivated people, and they all have internalized that too. We're not going to turn this airplane over to the pilots until it's ready to fly right.
Right. They're thinking, like, if I was in that airplane, I would want to know this is right.
Yep.
Well, that's a good way of thinking, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
As far as the systems on board are concerned, aside from all the instrumentation you guys are going to have on board for the measuring the shock waves, aren't those just standard fly-by-wires, like recycled out of an F-16 or something like that?
Ish, yeah.
Yeah, there's no standard fly-by-wire. It's everyone is tailored to that specific airplane. Yeah. But it is a fly-by-wire system. Without the computers, it would not keep going pointy nose first.
Yeah. The tough part is you don't know when you start to design it. You talked about the wind tunnels and the computerized stuff. So that gives you what we call the aero model. So that's their best guess of what the airplane flies like, would say. You know, but that's a guess.
Right.
So then you tailor your flight controls to their guess. So you don't know until you take it up for the first time how good that aero model is.
And who will be the first pilot?
That'll be Dan Kanan, the Lockheed pilot, and a call sign Dog.
Okay.
So he's been a great test pilot to work with. We've been working with him, I don't know, 7 years now? I don't know how long it's been.
A while.
But, long while. But he's been awesome to work with. So we, it's three of us. We all get along. Actually, we all get along really well. So
good, good. Thank you for joining us. This is, you've been listening to Nils Larson and Jim Less of NASA.
Yeah, Jim.
Jim Larson and
Clue.
I'm Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.